And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. My next guest is Marion Winnick, the co-host of The Weekly Reader here on WYPR. Every week, she and our colleague Lisa Morgan talk about books that are worth checking out. And today, I want to encourage you to check out one of Marion's books, a memoir about an unlikely relationship. It's called First Comes Love. And Marion Winnick joins me in Studio A. It's good to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
So this is quite a story. Let's begin by asking you to tell us about Tony Heubach, who was your husband for a good
right.
bit.
He was, back when I was, years before I met Tony, I heard of Tony because my best friend Sandy went to college in Lake Placid where Tony was in training as a figure skater. And over the years, I heard reports about this Tony, the gay ice skater. He was like a character that was so cool, so amazing. And then in 1983, we went on a visit to Mardi Gras in New Orleans. And at this point, Tony and some of the others from Lake Placid were living down there in New Orleans. So I arrived in New Orleans, and within minutes, I had met Tony, the gay ice skater.
And you're not a gay person yourself.
No, I was very much a straight person, which is why I instantly and insanely fell in love with Tony, the gay ice skater.
And you not only fell in love, you went through the whole deal here because you guys got married.
Yes. Well, you know, at first I it wasn't clear that, you know, what would happen or how it would work out, but Tony fell in love with me too. And even though there were obstacles to it that really, you know, never just fully disappeared, it worked out well enough that we did get married and have two sons and have a life together for 10 years.
Yeah. And Tony's death is another thing that you write a lot about in the book. This book is not only about this kind of unlikely love story between a straight woman and a gay man, but it's also about end of life. Mm-hmm. Tony was one of the millions of people who perished during the AIDS epidemic. Tell us about
He actually died in the year that was the peak of the epidemic in the United States, 1994. And it was, we had known that he was HIV positive since 85. I never became positive. And that was a big miracle that, you know, supported my decision to have children and breastfeed them and all the things I did, which seems so unlikely when your husband has AIDS. But at this point, I thought he was healthy for many years, at least 7 years. And at that time, there really was no AIDS. Drugs were really doing anything much. And that was true until about 6 months after Tony died. So it was sad because if he had made it six more months, he could be alive now. But and he took plenty of drugs. He took zillions of pills every day, but they weren't very effective at the time.
Marion Winnick, the book is called First Comes Love. And this is a book that you wrote 30 years ago. I mean,
yes.
1994, right?
Something right. Like I started it when Tony was still alive. So I'd say I started it in maybe 93. And I thought it would be published as a novel based on my experience because this experience has so raw, has so much bad behavior and hard drugs and other things in it that I just... And I also couldn't imagine publishing something so revealing about another person who wasn't alive anymore. But Random House told me that this book is good because it's true and it will not be published as a novel.
Yeah, so, and you were at the time, I mean, you have been a writer, a professional writer all your life. You and I have known each other for 100 years. And, you know, you are teaching writing now at the University of Baltimore. You've published, what, 7 books, something like that?
Nine,
okay. I've lost track. I've lost count. But the decision to write at all about this, the decision to talk about this, I mean, the memoir that you wrote in the 90s, this was not, now it seems it's somewhat commonplace for people to have these tell-all memoirs. But this was a huge leap back then. I mean, this is a long time ago.
It really was. This was the time when that's now thought of as the beginning of the memoir boom, when Mary Carr and Tobias Wolff and Elizabeth Wurtzel and Dave Eggers and a lot of other people wrote very revealing memoirs. Oh, you know, this is it's before James Frey, but then everything kind of blew up when with A Million Little Pieces.
Yeah, he's the famous,
right?
The fake memoir.
I had been my I started out as a poet. My first two books are poetry. But then my first prose book is personal essays that were taken from my work on All Things Considered. I was one of the commentators they used to have that tell little stories. So the little stories ended up Bailey White, David Sedaris, Ellen Gilchrist, Andre Kudrescu. I was kind of in that little crowd. And then that's how I got a literary agent, and that's how I published my first book. But in my first book, as much as it was very personal and considered candid and outrageous, I did not out Tony as having AIDS. And I didn't even say he was gay. I said he was a sexually ambiguous ice skating bartender. And I went with that. But he, before his death, had made it clear that he wanted me to tell the story the way it really happened.
And you guys were in your 20s when you met. You met at Mardi Gras, which is a very interesting, you know, backdrop for meeting anybody. But you had a no-holds-barred lifestyle. I mean, this is not just about the sort of quirkiness of a gay guy and a straight woman falling in love, but you're brutally honest about the things you did, the mistakes you made, the drugs you took. You really wanted people to know the full texture of your relationship.
I think this is, you know, memoir has become my life's work, teaching it, writing it, reading it, reviewing it, talking about it. And I believe that it's one of the only places where that level of honesty is ever achieved. People would write things in memoirs that they don't say to their best friends. And so the kind of support that you get from knowing someone has been through the same hell as you or a parallel hell, it may only be available in memoir.
That's really interesting. Why is that? I mean, because I think you're exactly right that people will write in books stuff that they won't tell their best friends.
Because I guess you enter some kind of zone when you're, you know, writing that gives you, and you have a little bit of separation. So I'm not sitting down with you, Tom, and telling you all about my hard drug abuse. I'm putting a book, and then the book goes to you. And I think that level of protection and gives people courage. And but then it's like I'm in your head telling you the story, even though I may be thousands of miles away.
Well, and it's an amazing story, and 30 years later it remains amazing. I'm delighted that it's being reissued, and thanks so much and congratulations on it.
Thank you so much.
Marion Winnick, the book is called First Comes Love, a memoir. Marion will talk about the book with the author Laura Lippman at the Ivy Bookshop Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Happy New Year, and give my best to Laura.
I will.
And that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, Stefan Fatsis. He's an author and former NPR reporter who has written a book called Unabridged, The Thrill of and Threat to the Modern Dictionary. So Stefan and I will talk about it tomorrow on Midday. Fresh Air is up next. Charles Bethay, the staff writer at The New Yorker, talks about his profile of Marjorie Taylor Greene. Today is the fifth anniversary of the insurrection at the Capitol in 2021. More than 2,000 people stormed the building, threatened members of Congress, and injured law enforcement officers, four of whom died by suicide in the months after the attack. President Trump pardoned more than 1,600 people who were convicted or pled guilty to crimes they committed that day. And to this day, President Trump repeats the lie that he won the 2020 election, the lie that led to the violence. In 2024, neither that lie nor an indictment charging Mr. Trump with stealing classified documents and various other crimes persuaded 77 million people to vote for somebody else. The next general election is in 301 days. I'm Tom Hall. I'm back with you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
This is 88.1 WYPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.